beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, I have warned you before what can happen when you have the music leader preach. And so you're going to get another taste of that this morning. I just want to warn you, I guess, again. Please turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 96. The psalm that was read for us this morning in the reading. And will be our text for today. Psalm 96 starts, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day." And I believe that we have done that here this morning. You know, I just love the way that you sing. Or as Jeff would say, y'all sing. I just love the way that you sing here at PVC. It really enlivens my soul and it makes me want to get up here and preach. So here we go. This past August, Laura and I were very blessed to be sent by PVC to the Sing Conference in Nashville, Tennessee. The elders thought it would be a good idea for me to give a report on what we learned at the conference, so that is my intention for this sermon. However, not wanting to just give a report for the sermon, I've chosen Psalm 96 to be our text for this morning. Now, first of all, it was a privilege to be sent to the conference. And as I said, we were very blessed to attend, but we were not sent there for a personal blessing for Laura and I, but to be a blessing to the church. We did not go there to have a vacation, to rest and be refreshed by all the wonderful music in the worship time, singing praises to God, although that did happen. Well, we were sent there so that I could learn how to be a better music leader in service to this church. And I did find the conference to be very equipping to that end. And my hope is that if the Lord wills, the investment made by sending us there will pay dividends to PBC for years to come. So before we get into our text for this morning, let me tell you a little bit about the conference. And then as we look at Psalm 96, I will share with you more about what we learned there. This is the vision for the conference that, as stated in the program that they gave us. Inspired by the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, Sing is an initiative of Keith and Kristen Getty to help individuals, families, and churches deepen their faith through singing. The core values of the Sing movement are rich theology, timeless artistry, and a vibrant singing in the lives of individuals, families, churches, and communities. It is the purpose of this ministry to invest in the lives of people serving to lead congregations in singing. And that's what that conference was about. And Laura and I feel that they were very successful in achieving that purpose. They had classes on just about every aspect of leading music in the church that you could think of. From song selection for your service, to children's music, to helping you know how to write hymns, to how to run the sound and lighting, to instrumentation, to how to lead by playing and singing your best without drawing attention to yourself. Because you see, this conference was not about us, but about God. It's not about the Getty Band and their great talent, but about promoting singing in the pew You know, we have a few instruments up here the Lord's blessed us with. We're going to lose Autumn after this week. We already lost Kendra, but we might have picked up Julie. So we have a few instruments. We have a few voices. But the main instrument in the church needs to be the voices in the pew. Singing from their very soul to their Creator and Savior God. And that was really the biggest, most lasting impression we have from the conference. The humility of the performers and the preachers who were there. And they were some big names. But they were all so deflecting. It was never about them, but always about Christ. Always about singing to Him and singing about Him. I remember in one of the smaller breakout sessions, as I was contemplating this thing, when one of the very talented musicians who had performed earlier that morning was asked a question by a pastor of a very small church. Because some of the music they're doing, they've got orchestra and they had a 1,000 voice choir and these world-class musicians. And I'm like, what do we do? So this pastor asked, some of the things that you do or that you are teaching here, how will we be able to implement that at my church? We're quite small and we've not been blessed with great musicians in our body. And that man's answer was, as long as you have Jesus Christ, you have all that you need. Sing to Him. Sing about Him. And you will be doing what we are teaching here. So with that, let's take a look at Psalm 96. And we'll try to develop the main point of this sermon. Now, I won't be doing an exegesis of this psalm today. This is really different for me, a different kind of sermon. But I hope I have enough scripture in here to actually make it scriptural. But I think we'll be able to glean a lot from Psalm 96. Look at verse 1. We've already read it twice now. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Now, if you've noticed the title of the sermon in the bulletin and Richard read it during the announcements, you have a pretty good idea of the main point. Commanded to sing. Three times in these first two verses, sing to the Lord. And I must point out to you that these are not suggestions. These are commands. They are in the imperative. This is not optional. In fact, the command that we are to sing is the second most frequent command given in all of Scripture. Never would have guessed that. We are, as children of the living God, commanded to sing. Now, doesn't that seem a bit odd to you? I mean, I can see the logic behind other commands in Scripture that we're called to obey. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I can see that. After all, He's God. And considering all that He's done for us, surely we ought to love Him for it. For He first taught us to love because He first loved us. Love your neighbor as yourself. I can see that. Do not lie. Do not steal. Do not murder. I can see those because to do them would cause harm to other people around you. But commanded to sing? Now, some of you may be thinking that your singing is harmful to the people around you. Okay? But obviously, God does not agree. Amen. And praise God for that. He commands us to sing. He does not command us to sing perfectly or even beautifully. But he does command us to sing. And I don't see any way around it but to say that if we choose not to, we are in sin. It seems so different. Such a different type of command. I mean, it seems to be one that has little or no repercussion if I don't do it. I mean, if I choose not to sing today, who's the victim? Is God really offended if I don't sing? But we know that God's precepts are perfect and true, and that he demands that we follow all of them, for they are put in place for his glory and for our good. But why would he command us to do that? Why would he command us to sing? And as I contemplated that question really over the last month, I repeatedly found myself with the same answer that Job got when he asked why. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who are you to ask why I do what I do? We are commanded to sing, so we should sing. So is this talking about singing when I'm alone? Or singing when I'm here at church? As a group? Yes. Correct, on both. Okay. What we are to, or and what are we to sing? Well, Ephesians 5 says, songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Sing about who he is and what he's done. That's why they say, sing to the Lord a new song. Because he's done something new. He's blessed you in a new way, or he's shown grace to you in a new way. After all, his mercies are new every morning. Now, God does, however, give us lots of reasons why we are to sing. And many of them are, of course, in the book of Psalms. But by no means all. Many are given in the Old Testament, but by no means all of them. But all of them do have to do with us responding to who he is and what he has done. Now, those who do not know him will not be motivated by these, but for those of us who do know him, each of these should cause us to want to sing. Let's start with a couple of easy ones, which are right here in Psalm 96. Look at verse 4. We are to sing to the Lord for, or because, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Simply put, we are to sing because God is great and he is worthy of great praise. Verse 5, we are to sing to the Lord, for all of the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. He is so great that splendor and majesty are before him, and strength and beauty are in his sanctuary, in the place where he dwells. This is why we sing, for thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Now just listen as I read to you a few others. Here's one from Exodus. After the parting of the Red Sea, Exodus 15, 1. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he's thrown into the sea. What an amazing thing. And that's certainly something new. Haven't seen him do that before. Sing to him a new song. Jeremiah 20, verse 13. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why? He rescues the oppressed from the power of evil people. Isaiah 49, verse 13. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. 2 Samuel 22. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be my God, the rock of my salvation. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. Psalm 59. But I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing to you. For you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love. Zechariah 2:10. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I come and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. Now here's some more that my crack research team found. Sing, for he has done marvelous things. Sing, for his steadfast love endures forever. I will sing, for you rescued me, for you delivered me. Sing, for God is the King of all the earth, for he brings salvation. Sing, for he is faithful. Sing to the Lord, for all his commandments are right. He has compassion on the afflicted, and sing, for the Lord redeems his people. And we could go on and on. But just one more. Here's one specifically for us. Please turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, starting in verse 8. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised, to the Jews, to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. You see, the Gentiles have received mercy too. That's us. If that hadn't happened, we'd still be dead in our trespasses and sins, with no hope in the world. But God. Verse 9, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. The Gentiles are included, Ken. You see, that's a large part of what Psalm 96 is about. Flip back to there. Singing praises to God among all the Gentiles for who he is and what he's done. Look at verse 3. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples, not just the nation of Israel. Verse 7. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Wait a minute, Gentiles were not allowed to bring an offering into the courts of God. Verse 9, worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. Now I know it says ascribe here. Can't I just ascribe? Can't I just declare without singing? Well, I suppose you could. But how much better to declare God's glory and splendor and majesty to others than to sing? How much better to ascribe glory and strength and holiness to the Lord before a fallen world than to sing? There's something about singing that adds credibility to your message. Otherwise, why would you do that? It's one thing to tell someone about Jesus Christ, but it's another thing for them to hear you sing majesty. Worship His majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory and honor and praise. A little different. You see, it'd be one thing for you to try to explain to someone your love for Jesus Christ, but it's a whole other thing for him, for them to hear you sing, "My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you." Now that is a powerful message to a world that desperately needs to know Him. Now I'm not talking about performing in front of people. I'm not talking about, or I am talking about, our everyday lives. Please notice in verse 2. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Each and every day. We are to be singing, a singing people, from day to day. Now I know some of you have been gifted to sing beautifully. And some of you are good singers because you've practiced a lot. Or for a long time. But some of you have told me that the Lord has only given you one note. If that's the case, then I'd like to encourage you to keep on using that one note to the best of your ability. And perhaps, someday, if the Lord wills, maybe He'll give you a second one. But in the meantime, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Let us sing. Power and majesty. Praise to the King. Now believe me, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, I am not here to pick on anyone today. You are great singers. And as I said earlier, your singing together as a congregation lifts my soul. I'm only encouraging you to excel still more. For we serve a great God and we are commanded to sing. To sing to Him, to sing about Him. And not just here on Sunday, but from day to day. Now for the rest of this sermon, however, I will be focusing on corporate singing. Singing that we do here together as a congregation. And please notice that I didn't say corporate worship, but corporate singing. Our singing together is only a part of our worship together. You see, true worship is living each day of our lives for God's will and not for our own will. Worship is seeking to be obedient to Him every moment of every day. And singing, as we have seen this morning, is only part of God's will for our lives. In the same way, singing here at church is only part of our corporate worship. When we gather here on Sunday morning, we gather to hear God's word, or hear from God. We read God's word out loud. We sing His word. We listen to His word explained to us in the sermon. We receive His word and let it inform and mold our consciences. So as the singing is such a large part, however, of the worship service, it's very important that the songs that we sing are biblical and packed with theology. That's the main reason why we sing the songs that we sing. Because it is that rich theology that we need to remember when we walk out that door. And music has such a way of sticking with us. It is a great tool to help us remember. In fact, it's much more likely that we will remember the songs that we sing than the sermon that we heard. No offense, Jeff. How often have you said to yourself, boy, I really got that sermon stuck in my head today. It's going over and over. No, it's the songs that we sing that we more often remember. So the words of the songs are very important. And the fact that we actually sing them is very important. Please turn with me, if you would, to Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. This was a verse they focused on a little bit at the conference. Colossians 3, verse 16. A key New Testament verse about the value of corporate singing, echoed by its parallel passage in Ephesians 5. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another, that is corporately, in all wisdom. And how are we to do that? Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So we see here that the word of Christ, that is the gospel, the truth of who God is and what he has done, will not only dwell in you, but dwell in you richly as we teach and admonish each other through the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that we sing to each other. Singing is a God-ordained means to help us know and cherish the truth of his word. And music is a great aid to memorization. So when we sing the gospel, when we sing about the attributes of God, when we sing songs that portray a very high view of God and that describe his will for our lives, we should receive a seminary education in practical theology just by singing each week. But it's not just teaching that we receive in these songs. It's also the admonishment. That is the reproof, the conviction, and the encouragement that the doctrine in these songs brings that helps us then in our daily walks with Christ. So I'd like us to consider this morning three ways in which our congregational singing can affect our daily life. And these three points are borrowed, if not flat out stolen, from an article in the Sing Conference program written by Matt Merker, who is the modern hymn writer and an elder at Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. I tried to borrow just the headings, however, and then the rest is pretty much original. First of all, our corporate singing fosters personal joy in Christ. Our corporate singing fosters personal joy in Christ. As we sing these theology-rich songs together each Sunday, their truths become ingrained in our minds and in our memories, so that when the storms of life come upon us, when sorrows like sea billows roll, these truths come to our minds when we really need them, as we remember the songs that we've sung, even the simple ones. When the world is beating down on you and there seems to be nowhere to turn for escape or relief. And you have no strength left to fight the battle. Yet you can still sing and be reminded of God's strength. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. In this way, then, our faith is bolstered and we're able to have joy in the midst of tribulation. A great example of this is in Psalm 59, which I already read a little bit earlier, but here we go again. Here, David is asking to be delivered from his enemies. He says they are howling like dogs, prowling around the city and lying in wait for his life. But out of his despair, David remembers his God and says this in verse 16, "But I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning, for you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you, for you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love." David found joy in the midst of his trouble, which manifested itself through singing. And here are some more examples, real quick, of scripture, from scripture, of joy brought about by singing about who God is and what He's done. Psalm 5. "Let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you." Psalm 71. "My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed." Isaiah 26. "Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy." Isaiah 35. "Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert." So when you are in the desert, when God has you in the wilderness, sing for joy, knowing that He is faithful and He never changes. Now, many of you know who Johnny Erickson Tada is. But for those of you who don't, she is founder and CEO of Johnny and Friends, an organization that accelerates Christian outreach to the disabled community. She's the author of numerous best-selling books and has her own daily radio program. She's one of the world's leading advocates for people affected by disability. In 1967, at the age of 17, a diving accident left her confined to a wheelchair as a quadriplegic. 52 years later, she's still confined to that wheelchair, having survived stage 3 breast cancer and living with chronic pain. She was at the conference. And she shared this with us. "I've lived in a wheelchair for over 50 years. And when people ask about my persistent smile, I always say I've simply learned to sing my way through suffering. Over the years, I've learned from Scripture that singing is not an option for Christ's followers. It's a command. Whether Colossians 3 or Ephesians 5, we're not invited to sing. God tells us to sing. And being commanded to sing helps me be obedient to God even when I feel like emotionally caving in. Sitting in a wheelchair or lying in a bed in chronic pain, unable to mentally put two words together in prayer, at least I can sing the hymns that I've memorized. Like this one. All the way the Savior leads me. cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every hurdle, feeds me on the living bread. When my weary soul may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. And she goes on to say, when my weary soul falters, singing is a way of turning my soul Godward. When I feel crushed by pain or the confinements of a wheelchair, when my mind is in a brain fog, and at that point I can still express my confidence in Jesus Christ through hymns that I know by heart. If I can't speak my praise, I can sing my praise, because I can remember the songs and the melody. And this is my sacrifice of soulful praise to my Savior. And then she adds, after all, I serve a singing Savior who on the night that he was betrayed, who in that dark hour when he faced unthinkable pain and suffering, nevertheless, before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he sang a hymn with his friends. That's in Mark 14:26. How about you? When you're weary and downtrodden or just plain frustrated with your daily life in this world, when your focus has been moved from the things above to the things of the earth, do you sing? I'd like to say, try it, it works. But we're not to just sing to make us feel better, although it will do that. We're commanded to sing praises, to sing the gospel, to sing of who God is and what he's done in the midst of trying circumstances and in the midst of good circumstances, because it's good for your soul and it's good for your testimony in this world. It is a way that God has ordained and created for this world, for his word, to dwell in us richly, especially when we might not be able to remember a single verse. So that's the benefit for the individual. But what about the body as a whole? Well, that would be the second point for this morning. Corporate singing binds us as one body in Christ. Corporate singing binds us as one body in Christ. We are not meant to live the Christian life alone. We are God's chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. And singing together reinforces our corporate identity, reminding us that we are part of the body of Christ, even when the body is scattered during the week. When we sing together and we hear each other's voices in the songs, and over time we should associate our church's hymns with the people that we sing them with. Now for me, when I sing some of the songs, when I'm home or at work, a lot of them remind me of Carrie, because she's usually the one that I'm right next to that I can hear. But some of the songs remind me of Brandon and Matthew, because there might be a part in the song that they sing with such great flavor, and I can hear them from up here. Now, if one of the songs has a really high note, I think of Linda, because she's the only one around me that can hit that thing. And if the song is a little more upbeat, I think of Laura, because she worships with her whole body. She can't stand still. The point is that when we hear and sing these songs and hymns during the week that we have sung together here, it reminds us that we are not alone. We are part of the body. And this is the sweetness of belonging to a church, that we're reminded of each other through the week. We can think of each other and be reminded to pray for each other, because we remember each other, in this case, through the songs that we sing. Now, another way that singing binds us together as one body in Christ is by the way that we minister to each other through our singing. Here's an example of what I mean by that. There are times when I come to church and I am worn down by the events of the week, and I can't imagine I'm the only one here. Maybe I'm just coming to church because it's Sunday and because that's what we do on Sunday. But then I hear my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ singing, "Behold our God seated on His throne. Come, let us adore Him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore Him." And instantly I'm reminded why we are here. And my soul is lifted to worship our God and King. That's what you do for me. Now, of course, I have an advantage that you don't have, in that I can see most of your faces when you sing. And when we sing, "I exalt Thee," some of you have your hands raised. Some of you have your eyes closed and your faces slightly upward. Some have a gentle smile on your face as you commune with God, and it awakens my affections. It gives me affections for my God that I didn't have when I walked in the door on that day when I was down. I hope it works this direction as much as it does this direction for you guys. But now, another way that we can minister to each other in our corporate singing is by washing each other with the truth of God's Word. Now, a few weeks ago, Laura and I received news on Saturday night that one of her best friends had just died. And now, this friend was a strong sister in the Lord, so there was little doubt as to her salvation. But she also suffered with severe hearing loss and chronic pain. And as Laura came here to church the next morning, she was tearfully grieving the loss of her dear friend and contemplating where her friend is now and what she is now experiencing. She knew that her friend's hearing was now restored in the presence of her Savior, and she's no longer in pain. By God's providence, here's what you all sang in her hearing that morning. Psalm 103. "O praise and bless the Lord, my soul, and ever thankful be. Forget not all the benefits that He has bestowed on thee. He freely pardons all thy sins, and He is strong to save. He heals thy sickness, soothes thy pain, and ransoms from the grave. He crowns thee with His strength and love, and with His strength endued, thou mountest up on eagle's wings, thy joyous youth renewed." And now all these truths, Laura, are already new. But to hear you sing that her friend was receiving all the Lord's benefits, that God had healed her sickness and healed her pain, He crowned her life with His strength, and that she's now in His presence mounted up on eagle's wings with her joyous youth renewed, that ministered to Laura and to me more than you know. And this ministry is not necessarily from the many to the one. It also can go the other way. It can also go from the one to the many. Here's what I mean. By being one body and being unified by the bond of Christ, the more we get together in worship and in fellowship, the better we get to know about one another. So maybe there's someone next to you in the pew that you know has been dealt some very tough circumstances in their life recently, because we know each other. And you see that they are still, however, able to stand next to you and sing, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, or when sorrows like sea billows roll." Doesn't matter. whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. What a testimony. Maybe you're next to someone who's worked very hard to get where they are and has been very successful in business. And yet they stand next to you and sing, my worth is not in what I own, or in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love at the cross. I will not boast in wealth or might or human wisdom's fleeting light, but I will boast in knowing Christ at the cross. In these ways, by singing together corporately, we are able to teach and admonish one another in our walks with Christ in a way that we could not otherwise do. Sometimes without even knowing it. And again, I encourage you to excel still more in this area. It is so important. And this is truly one of the main reasons why the main instrument in the church must be the voices in the pew. And our corporate singing can also be evangelistic. Perhaps we have some visitors in our midst on a certain Sunday and they don't yet know Christ. Perhaps they're looking for an answer for the guilt that they feel, but they don't really know why they came here other than that. And as we all stand together and sing, they hear the gospel preached as we sing in Christ alone, or the power of the cross, or how deep the Father's love for us, or all we have is Christ, or many of the other old hymns that we sing. Now, Christmas and Easter are really the best time of year for this. During these times, more people may come to church out of tradition than normally come to church at all. Hearing the truth of the incarnation sung by a congregation can be very impacting. Perhaps they hear for the first time that Christmas is not just about family and exchanging gifts. But they hear for the first time that Christmas, what it's about is joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive its King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing. Or hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Mom, is that what Christmas is about? Or perhaps they come at Easter and they hear about the obedience of Christ. He went to the cross to reconcile sinners to Himself. And they hear you all stand and sing, death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph over His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. So impacting. You have no idea. We have no idea what kind of impact that can have. But there's something about singing. Now I could keep on going here, but I feel like I must move on at this point. Okay, we wanted to look at three ways in which our congregational singing can affect our daily lives. The first one was our corporate singing fosters personal joy in Christ. Secondly, corporate singing binds us as one body in Christ. And thirdly now, corporate singing focuses us on eternity. Corporate singing focuses us on eternity. When we sing together here on Sunday, we get a small foretaste of the symphony of praise that there will be when Christ receives worship around His heavenly throne. Songs like Holy, Holy, Holy come to mind. But it's not only the songs that speak of that, not Only the songs that speak of that time when people from every tribe, nation, and tongue will surround his throne, but songs about our salvation, about God's love and mercy and grace. Songs about who he is and what he has done. And as we sing these songs together here at church, and then throughout the week, we're reminded that we are citizens of a better kingdom. Singing hymns about the gospel and salvation causes us to meditate on the eternal hope we have in Christ, and therefore do a better job of living in a manner worthy of our calling as we wait for his glorious return. You know, we're exhorted in 1 Peter to fix our hope completely on the grace to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ, and that we will rejoice with great joy when his glory is revealed, which will far outweigh any suffering that we incur now. And songs that are rich in theology and doctrine help us to focus on that future time and to long for it. In the meantime, as we wait for Christ's return, we can sing from the bottom of our hearts, knowing that our salvation is secure through faith and that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. On that day, when all of creation is set right again by the righteous judge, when creation, which has been groaning under the bondage of the curse and waiting to be set free from the effects of our sin, there will be new voices joining us. Psalm 96 gives us a glimpse of what that will be like. Verse 11, let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar and all that is in it, let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. And he will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in faithfulness. Psalm 98 puts it in a similar way. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and all those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands and let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. In that day, in that glorious day, all of creation will praise the Lord of heaven by singing together. But for now, we sing knowing we've received salvation from the Lord. We sing keeping our eyes fixed on things above where Christ is. Through our singing, we long for the day when we will meet him face to face. Now, in conclusion, we are commanded to sing individually from day to day and corporately as we meet together on the Lord's Day. And I don't think we've done much more this morning than scratch the surface of God's wisdom in commanding us to sing. He wants his people to be a singing people, singing for joy in the midst of triumph and in the midst of sorrows, singing and making melody in our hearts to him, singing about him and what he has done to remind ourselves that he is God, that he is faithful, that his loving kindness endures forever, that he is the creator, that he is all power, that he is love. He has redeemed us. He's reconciled us to himself, and he is coming again. Singing together to teach and admonish one another in the truth and to witness to a fallen world that God is real. For why else would someone sing about joy in the midst of suffering? And so to this endeavor, I urge you once again to excel still more. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share about the conference to share what we learned there, to share from your word that you command us to sing to you a new song when you have blessed us in a new way, to sing from our soul glory and honor to our King. Father, help us to understand what this means. Help us to understand that this isn't just a feel better self-help tool, but that this is a way that you have ordained for us to witness to a fallen world that you are infinitely more valuable than any circumstance we could run into in this world. Joy in the midst of suffering. Joy to the point where our hearts burst out into singing. Fill us with that, we pray, Father. Let us not take for granted these truths that you tell us in your word about who you are and what you've done. And yeah, we read that you've done this for us, and we've read it so many times now that we become numb to it. It doesn't cause us to want to sing, but it should refresh in us, Father, our excitement for our salvation, our excitement for what you have done, redeemed a sinful people into the presence of the thrice holy God. We are amazed. Father, thank you for your word and all that it contains and all that it reveals about you and your nature. And may we go forth from here, Father, as singing people, praising you, worshiping you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.